We started in January with the cross. Talk about the cross, we're talking about God's redemption for us. When you talk about the cross, you actually are talking about how God dealt with human sin justly. The Bible teaches us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself so we could be his people, so he could be with us, and we could be with him. And when you begin to talk about God being with us or we being with God, you really are talking about heaven. Eventually, you're talking about heaven. Then we went on to turf wars, and I talked about winning battles in a war, winning battles over the heart and the masters and the mind. And when you do that, you have the ability to win the war against money and possessions. But if you win the battle of the mind and the battle of the masters and the battle of the heart, what you do, you will start laying treasure up in heaven. All right. Since we are talking about eventually through the cross and the redemption that we have and the reconciliation that we have with God, of being with the Father, of being with God in heaven, and you're laying treasures up there, okay? Let's talk about heaven. Let's talk about where we will be with him. Let's talk about where we're putting the treasures or where we should be putting the treasures. So we want to talk about heaven, and we need to know about heaven. We need to understand our home and what God is preparing for us. Now, the recommended book for this series is Heaven. Real novel title, isn't it? Heaven by Randy Alcorn. He does such a great job in researching the subject throughout Scripture. And if you want a question, just look in the back of the book and look at that and then go to that and read about it. And he does an exhaustive job, and you will enjoy his book on heaven. I would encourage you to get it and read it. Every week, what we're going to do is take something with regard to heaven and speak on it, preach on it, give a message on heaven, but also, because there's so many things, so many questions, and so many facets about heaven, we're going to take a question each week and answer it. So today, in the message, I'm going to jump ahead to the future, and I'm going to the eternal heaven, and then we're going to work backwards, okay? We're going to what we call the final heaven as it is taught in Scripture, and then we'll work our way backward. But the question today is this one: will we know each other in heaven? Well, you know, if you think about that, that's sort of a dumb question. And I hope you haven't raised the question since I just said it was a dumb question. But everybody, I get asked this all the time. George MacDonald made this statement, and he gave another question. He said, Will we be more foolish in heaven than we are here? What is the answer? No, of course not. You know, down here we can recognize one another by a laugh or by some idiosyncrasy, something, you know, and you recognize people by their walk, you recognize people by their appearance, and down here we have partial knowledge. In heaven, we will have full knowledge. Of course, we'll know each other in heaven. In fact, you will never meet a stranger in heaven. You will never have to introduce yourself to anyone in heaven. You will know, they will know you. And I think that it'll be an interesting thing that in heaven, we will know all of the ins and outs of how the kingdom tied everything together and how we got there and how they got there, and I think all of that will be knowledge that we will have. No, we will know everybody in heaven, so don't worry about that. You won't have to carry around a little cue card with you in heaven. Heaven, what a wonderful topic. What a wonderful subject. What does the Bible teach about it? There was a movie that came out 30 years ago. Boy, it shocks you when you think. 30 years ago, 1982. I think it was the first movie I took my son to. It was called E.T. It's a cute movie, wasn't it? And many of you have seen it, and those that are younger in the congregation probably have seen it on DVD because it's that type of movie. It stands for extraterrestrial. And it was a movie about a little creature that came from outer space somewhere, and he landed here with some of his comrades, and he got left behind. He got left behind when they had a takeoff, when a human patrol came on them, and so E.T. is left, and he is engulfed by Elliot and some of the friends, trying to love him and care for him and sympathize with him. But E.T. always had the desire to go home. And even though he was cared for by Elliot and his friends, and even though he was loved and they cuddled him here, he never belonged here. This was not where he belonged. And I thought about that movie this week, and I thought about a believer, and I thought how the scripture teaches me and teaches you that we don't belong here. And we really always have a longing for home. And even though we're loved here and cared for here and have so many things going for us here that we enjoy, we don't belong here. We will belong somewhere else. And there is the longing that we ought to have to go home. When you think about home, that's the place that you like to be, where you're most comfortable, where you're most at ease. And when you're sick, that's where you want to be. And when you've been on a long journey, you can't wait to get back there. You take all of those thoughts and all of that of home and just think about heaven being home, real home, where you and I really belong. And that's what we want to be talking about for these next several weeks. I've heard people say, well, it can't get any better than this, or all good things come to an end. Both of those statements are wrong. It can get better than this, and it will. Take all that you know that is best that you enjoy right now, and it will get better than that. Good things have to come to an end. No, they won't. The best for you as a believer has not even started yet. And that's what the Bible is teaching about heaven. In my ministry, not only have I heard it, but I have read it. People saying things like, if you have your head in the clouds and your feet are not on the ground, then you are really practically no good. Or maybe they say it this way, you're too heavenly minded to be any earthly, any good. I've been looking for those people all of my life. I've never found one. I have never found anybody ruined by thinking about heaven. In fact, I think it's the opposite. I think our problem is that we have too weak a view of heaven and we don't know enough about heaven to change the way we live here and now. Because I believe if we really understood the scripture, I believe if we understood what the Bible teaches about heaven, it would change the way we live now, and it would benefit us now. It would benefit us here. I think it would change some of our perspective, and maybe we would quit whining about things that don't matter. And maybe we would quit worrying about things that really don't need to be worried over. And maybe we wouldn't sit in front of the television so much. If we really understood heaven and understood eternal value, I don't know that we would be doing some of the things that we're doing, which is really just wasting away. I don't know that we would keep our head down all the time and text. I think if we had our minds on heaven, we would be doing some other things. It would change the gravity center. It would shift some of our thinking for the better, because we would be processing things and living according to what we know about heaven. It certainly would address our pain and our failures and our hurts. It wouldn't make them go away. But it certainly would give us a different perspective as we go through them, knowing what is coming. And the Bible clearly teaches that when we think about heaven and we focus on heaven, it is an incentive for righteous living. Look at the verse in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he as God is pure. If you're going to heaven, if you're going to be a part of God's heaven, and God is holy and God is pure, doesn't that make a difference in how we live right now? I think if we really had an idea of what heaven is about, that we would be less capable or at least prone to fall to the lies and the traps and the temptation of the devil. Now, I think when we know the scripture about heaven, it helps us. It doesn't ruin us. Why would it ruin us? In fact, the Bible tells us to learn about heaven. The Bible tells us to set our minds on things that are above. Colossians chapter 3, the first two verses. Since you and I are going to be raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. The Bible tells us to do that. The word there in that text, set, means to seek. It's the word that you find when it says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Keep on seeking the things that are above. Keep your focus there. Keep your mind there because it's good for you, because it works on your behalf. That's what the Scripture teaches us. And I think if you do, it's going to really, just like with the Apostle Paul, I think it's going to change some of your goals. You remember that passage in Philippians 3 when Paul was talking about, he said, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul was saying, I got goals now that I didn't have because I understand what's ahead. That's the benefit of heaven. That's the benefit of thinking about heaven. That's the benefit of knowing about heaven. So this stuff about being heavenly minded will ruin you, that's not true. In fact, it is contradictory to Scripture. It benefits you to understand heaven and to know about heaven. But what do you know about heaven? What do you think about heaven? Maybe that's our problem. We don't know the right stuff. What do you think about when you think about the word heaven? Or what do you think people think about when they think about the word heaven? Cloud floating. Boy, won't that be great? That'd be good for about 15 minutes. Cloud floating. Harp playing. Some people have the weirdest ideas of heaven. White robes. I hope they don't have starch in them. And if it's only two places to go, heaven and hell, heaven is better than hell. That's the way some people approach it. At least it's the better alternative. I don't know if I really am going to have a good time there. I don't know if I'm going to enjoy it, but certainly I don't want to go to the other place. Well, what a way to embrace the biblical concept of heaven. How do we get this stuff? I think it's cut and paste. I think you read a book, you see a TV program, or you go to a movie, or you heard something here, or you were taught that, or you were just left to your own imagination. And so you take all of that and cut and paste it, and you got your little heaven document. And most of it is not biblical. And so maybe that's why we're not excited about heaven, and it's not changing our lives to know about heaven. If we knew exactly what heaven was like, it would change things. Well, as I told you when we began, I'm going to go to the final heaven and the eternal heaven, and then going to work our way back. But first of all, let me say that when we think of heaven, we usually think of going up somewhere and being with Jesus. And that's correct. It seems to be correct. You know, when Jesus, after his resurrection, when he ascended, there in Acts 1, the disciples were looking, the Bible says the disciples were looking up. Jesus was taken up out of their midst, and he was enveloped in a cloud. So that appears that Jesus is going up. And then the angel asked the disciples, why are you staring into the sky? He went this way, he's going to come this way. And then Paul later, you know, when he will teach the people in Thessalonica, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the coming of the Lord. He said, one of these days, the Lord is going to come down from heaven with a shout and with a cry of the archangel. So it appears that heaven, a teaching of heaven, is that it is up, it is where Jesus is. And the Bible teaches that we go there when we die here to be with Jesus. And that seems to be correct. But that's not the end of the story. Alcorn in his book calls that heaven, the intermediate heaven, it's not called that in the scripture, but you know, that term is as good as any other. And then there is a final heaven. There's a final heaven. That's, I'll show you that. That is definitely the teaching of scripture. But you have to understand that when you're thinking about the intermediate heaven, up there somewhere with Jesus after you die here, if God were to leave this earth, the way it is, if we would just abandon this earth, we just all go to heaven, one by one when we die, or maybe one day God comes back and he takes us all to the intermediate heaven, leaving this earth as a tragic example of the ruinization of sin, he will not do it. That is not going to happen. That'd be like a bunch of rusted cars on the highway in a junkyard. And everybody could say, look out there. God had an original world, and look what it turned into. And now he and his people have just abandoned the place, and they've gone to this intermediate heaven. Well, God isn't going to let that happen, because Satan is not going to have the bragging rights. The Bible teaches that God is going to wrest victory out of everything that he's done. And he is going to redeem and refashion and resurrect it all. And then live with his people in a place where there is a union of heaven and earth. I think you and I need to understand that in Revelation 21 and 22, and also some of the latter chapters of Isaiah and other places, the Bible teaches what is coming. The Bible teaches the final heaven. And until the consummation of history and things begin to unfold according to the plan of God, those that are not here, those that have died here that are believers, are going to be in an intermediate heaven, but they're not going to be there forever, because there's going to be something that happens when Jesus returns. And if you do not understand that one day there is going to be an eternal heaven, then you have stopped short. Your view of heaven is restricted. It means that you do not fully understand the plan of God. It means that you do not fully understand redemption. And it means that you have not fully thought through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and your own resurrection. Let's look at those three things. First, the plan of God. Do you know what the plan of God is? If you were to state the plan of God, what do you think the plan of God would be? You say, well, he knows that I'm a sinner. He came to die for sin so that I could be his person, be his people. Okay, that's a part of the plan of God. But do you know the whole plan of God? The whole plan of God is spoken of in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Let me read those verses. And he, God, made known, he told us, made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. And here is his plan: to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. One of these days, these plans will go into action and to be reach their fulfillment. Here is the plan: to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, and that head is Jesus Christ. That's the plan. One of these days, there will be no more separation of, okay, there's the heavens and here's the earth. The heaven and the earth will be united under one head, and God will dwell with his people there. You know, we think of heaven being God's place, and we think of earth being our place. And really, that's the way it is right now. But do you understand that when Jesus came as the incarnate Son of God, he linked the two? Do you realize in the Garden of Eden that you had a man living in a garden on the earth, and God walked with him? God was in fellowship with him here. That was his plan. It was severed by sin. And I suppose God could have destroyed Adam and Eve and started all over. We do that all the time, in that we have a plan, we have something that we're doing, we say, well, that didn't work, throw it in the garbage can. That didn't work, throw it in the garbage can. That's not the way it's going to work with God. Or maybe he could have just forgiven them then and taken them on to the intermediate heaven and they would just have lived there forever. Well, what you would have done is left this earth as a testimony of defeat. God isn't going to do that. One of these days, he's going to refashion this place and he is going to take heaven and earth, his abode and man's abode, and he's going to unite them in himself, and we're going to be with him in the eternal heaven, which is here. Which is here. Heaven and earth united according to Revelation 21. In fact, here's a novel thought. Some people will not even go to the intermediate heaven. Because if you're alive, when Jesus comes, you will wind up in the eternal heaven and not the intermediate heaven. And if I miss the intermediate heaven for the eternal heaven, great. Not going to bother me a bit. Somebody can tell me about the other one. This one's going to be good enough. Isn't it true that those who are alive at his coming will be refashioned and resurrected and will be with him forever in the eternal heaven? They will never go to the intermediate heaven. You will just have those folks joining you. The plan of God is a union of heaven and earth. All right, that's one thing that you've got to understand if you're going to understand heaven, the full subject of heaven. The other thing is that don't have too narrow a view of redemption. When you think of redemption, when I think of redemption, we usually think of, okay, God came, went to the cross, and he died for my sin, and he saved me. That is redemption. That is true. But folks, redemption does not end with you. It does not end with me. Redemption goes all the way to all the effects of sin are removed, which means that this world has to be redeemed as well. And that's what the Bible teaches. Look at Romans 8 and verse 21 on the screen. Creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. I have been brought into the glorious freedom of God through salvation. But there's going to come a day when creation is going to have its liberation as well. See, we know that the earth was cursed. You go to Genesis 3 and it says, cursed is the ground because of you, but so is the heaven. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, for our struggle here is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. Where? In the heavenly realm. It's not where God is, but in the heavenly realms. It's tainted too. If God is going to be victorious, and he will be, then he is going to have his redemption go all the way to remove every effect of sin. And that not only is that you and I are being redeemed, but so is the world that he created. Heaven and earth also will be redeemed. There are places in the Bible, 2 Peter, other places, where it appears that when God comes to refashion and redo the world, sounds like it's going to be destroyed. But that's not what it's talking about. You got to understand the continuity of the work of God, and you got to understand the continuity of the redemption of God. Go to your own redemption. When you and I came to Christ and we became new creations, did you change? I mean, you changed spiritually. He gave you a new heart, but you got up and put on the same clothes that you've been wearing. You were the same size, weren't you? The next day, people recognize you? Or did you, when you went out, they said, "Woo, who are you?" No, they understood you. Your voice was the same. You were totally different. You had been refashioned by God himself. You were still the same person. That's the continuity of redemption. And the same thing is going to happen with the world. God is going to take this world tainted by sin, and he will redeem it. He will make it new. But when he makes it new, he's not going to destroy it and leave some failure on the books. He's going to take what he had, and he's going to take what he created, and he's going to refashion it. He's going to make it new to the glory of God. You see the continuity of the work of God in Jesus' resurrection. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised bodily. The women didn't go to the tomb and find a body there, and then somebody said, you know what? Jesus is now spiritual. Well, that would have been a real good one to sell. Jesus was raised. His body was gone. He was outfitted for the new heaven and the new earth. Jesus is in heaven, the intermediate heaven right now, in a body, awaiting the eternal heaven when he will be in a body with you, in a body dwelling with his people. Of course he had a spiritual body, but he wasn't a spirit. He ate fish. He talked to his disciples and met with them, and he bore in his body the marks that he had on the cross from the crucifixion itself. That's the same thing that's going to happen to you and me. One of these days, when the consummation has taken place, God is going to remake you according to the way he remade Christ. You're going to have that same kind of body. You're going to have a spiritual body, but you're not going to be a spirit, and you're going to be outfitted to live on this earth. A new heaven and a new earth and a new body. And what we need to understand is that because Jesus has been raised, he's first fruits, you and I are going to be raised. And when we get raised, it's a trigger for creation to be raised and remade. Look at the scripture. What it says in, I think it's Romans 8 and verse 19. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. One of these days, I'm going to be resurrected. You're going to be resurrected, and the creation will go, there they are. Now it's our turn. And creation will be refashioned. And God will do that because of sin. He will have to do that because of sin. And the resurrected Jesus will live with his resurrected people on a resurrected earth where heaven and earth have been united under one head, Jesus Christ. The plan completed. Listen to these verses in chapter 21 of Revelation, the first three verses. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Remember there, not gone, not destroyed, redone. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. Where was it? It came down out of heaven. And heaven and earth are now united on the new earth. There's no more separation of good stuff, bad stuff, God's stuff, our stuff. It's united. Why else would you need a resurrected body? That's why. You know, this earth right here is not bad. Go to the mountains, isn't it pretty? Go to the beach and you look out there and go, whoa, man, this is something else. Go out early in the morning, you will hear every kind of bird in the world singing. Go to the Grand Canyon. Go to the sights. I love to travel because I love to see creation. I love to see what God has done. It's pretty right now. And the scripture says that in the Psalms that the heavens declare right now the glory of God. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when he redoes it? It's going to be absolutely amazing. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be the greatest thing that you can ever imagine. When God gets through with his plan and he remakes it, and you and I are outfitted to enjoy it and to participate in it. Here's the question. You going to be there? Are you going to be there? The scripture says here in Revelation 21 that he will dwell with his people. If you're his, that means that you have been redeemed and refashioned, which means that you have said, I believe that he is the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead. I have embraced that truth. I have believed on him, and he's changed my life. Or you will not be there. Reservations are open, but you have to book your reservation before you leave here. I have booked mine. I have my seating assignment. And what I need to do is to live in light of that right now. And I need to start majoring more on the things that matter and the things that are eternal than the things that are transient and the things that really are nothing but distractions. And it should be about God. It should be about worship. It should be about people going there and relationships that will help bring that about. That's the way we ought to be living. Because one day, we're going to be outfitted to be with him forever in a united heaven and earth. Forever and forever. And right now, this is very temporary. And as E.T. kept saying in the movie, home. There is a home. There is an intermediate, there's a final one to which we belong. Live in light of that. Father, thank you for truth. Thank you for giving us a glimpse of that. So that we can live here differently. I think that's exactly why you would tell us, set your minds on things that are above. I think you've given us this vision of heaven so that we can live with a different perspective. And I pray that we will. I pray that the subject of heaven is not just answering questions and learning more about it so that we know something. And I pray that it is really a life change. Comparing a few years to eternity is, well, there is no comparison. And I pray that we will live in light of the greater number, the eternal number, rather than the other. And Lord, I pray for the people that are in this room. I pray for those that don't know you as Savior, that today they would understand the truth of God and they would call on him for mercy and salvation. And Lord, I pray for the rest of us that have already done that, that we will leave this place disciplined and ready to live in light of heaven, to live more in light of heaven. May that be the case. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me? As I've told you before, we always in here have an opportunity for God to speak to our heart. And if you have a decision to make and want to share that with me, or if you want to confirm it with me, I'll be here at the front. If you want to speak to a counselor and pray with a counselor, they're in the room and I'll show you where they are. You can go down the hall and speak to someone in the next step room about your next step with God, or maybe even in this church, in this fellowship. You feel free to do that. But I want you to leave your heart open to the Lord right now as we sing and you do what God wants you to do. Feel free to come as we sing.